Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, what's happening? How are you today? Tiki and Tierney, let's do it. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network here on this beautiful Tuesday across the country. Quicken Loans Studio, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. A lot of good stuff for you today. Day two, sixth annual Tiki and Tierney Two-A-Days as we highlight the Green Bay Packers and the Denver Broncos. Boy, Paxton Lynch is bad, huh?
Yeah, he's done.
I mean, he's done. You know, in the elevator, they have the, I don't know, like the digital newspaper, for lack of a better description.
I forgot what they call it.
You know, whatever it is. The Bronco fans are funding. They have a GoFundMe page to get rid. They're up to $700,000 to buy him out. I swear to God. They want him gone.
I knew they started a GoFundMe. 700 grand?
Up to 700 large.
Wow.
They really don't want him around.
Here's the, I guess, facetious question.
Yeah.
They can't actually take that money, can they?
That's probably a circumvention of something cap-related, I would imagine.
It'd be like paying somebody under the table.
Right? I don't know.
You crowdfund to pay, I don't know, whoever, Khalil Mack, his salary.
Yeah.
Looking at the NFL Network right now, and the Raiders were just on. Got to pay Khalil Mack. They can't afford it. We'll crowdfund and pay him under the table.
At this point might be worth the Hail Mary shot on the part of the Raider fans. Close the gap a
little. Better that than trade him.
You know? Looks like the Rams are getting tight with Donald, but the Raiders seem to be miles apart from Mack, so we'll certainly get into a ton of football issues, as we said, the Packers and the Broncos yesterday. We had Coach Shermer on for the Giants. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Sixth annual Tiki and Tierney Two-A-Days. That went fast.
Whose
man.
Idea was it to do it in the first place?
It's mine.
Yeah, it's good. I was going to say
very quickly.
I was going to thank Samter, but I forgot.
Don't give him credit for anything.
Well, Samter wasn't our producer six years ago.
Well, he was. You were Gottlieb 6 years ago? You were, right? Yeah, we had Ray Martell, who then went, we drove him out of the business. He literally went to sell air conditioners, and then he got back in the business.
Great guy. Just not with us.
No, great guy. And we actually loved Ray and certainly didn't leave because of us. But the wacky world of radio just keeps on spinning.
Yeah.
This serious story out of the shoot here. You know, you and I jumped into it a little bit yesterday, that story with ESPN about the from Friday about the toxic culture at Maryland. Play a couple of things for you. We do have a little clarity here. DJ Durkin, the head coach for the Terps, not fired. He is still on administrative leave. That's the first aspect. The second thing that came out before for the press conference, the strength and conditioning coach, Rick Court, he has been dismissed. Mm-hmm. He is out. The first cut, Teague, this is from the president of Maryland, Wallace Lowe, on the training staff and culpability. Two interesting things. And then secondly, we'll get to hear from the athletic director who spoke to the culture. But here's Wallace Lowe, the president for Maryland.
We have looked at the preliminary observations that were given to me and to others. Some of the actions of our athletic training staff, not the coaching staff, the athletic training staff, well, they basically misdiagnosed the situation. No vital signs were taken. Other safeguard actions that should have been taken were not. For me, that was enough to say, I need to come and personally apologize.
Okay. It's certainly the right thing to do. Some maybe wanted it yesterday, but I'm of the school, do it when you're prepared to actually speak with some sort of definitive position rather than just try to placate people to come out quick. Get it right.
Get it right is absolutely right, but it feels to me like they're finding a scapegoat. They're passing the buck a little bit off of DJ Durkin, the head coach, who I think ultimately, I did my sports minute on this yesterday, ultimately bears some responsibility, even if it wasn't his fault. As BT just mentioned, his strength and conditioning coach has been relieved of his duties for failure to supervise the drill, which was 100 yard conditioning tests. But the other thing, other side of this, you know, as I listened to this press conference, and it was kind of hurried together. He even said so at the beginning. President Lowe said so at the beginning. I was expecting something meaningful or profound to be said, and they really didn't say anything. I thought there would be a decision, either pro or con, on their on their head coach, DJ Durkin. I thought that there would be some sort of explain of the culpability and what happened. And it was really kind of just a state of the union, which was weird.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, President Lowe spoke, and then the athletic director spoke, and neither one of them were really committal on the head coach, DJ Durkin, who some have called for his dismissal. Now, including myself, the interesting thing, there are two issues here, right? It's the death of Jordan McNair.
Yep.
That's important to focus on. It's really the more important thing to focus on. And the other thing that they're talking about or alluding to is this ESPN report about the, quote, toxic culture at the University of Maryland. And that's the hazing and the shaming and the, you know, getting the chocolate bars and, you know, throw them at the fat kids while the other kids work out. Like, all those other things that kind of don't mean much to me. I mean, mm-hmm. I get it. This exists. These type of things exist in college football culture, but it's less important to me. It's almost like they're intentionally throwing up, you know, these two issues together so that we stop thinking about one of them. And I think that's unfair. It's just it's unbecoming of the investigation. It didn't make sense to me, this press conference. It just felt all over the place and meaningless, as opposed to giving a definitive stance on something.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They just said, we're doing an investigation, and mm-hmm. we'll continue to do an investigation, and it needs to be fair. Well, then why have the press conference?
Mm-hmm.
Right? It just felt unfulfilling in a certain way.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't want to see the same amount of attention given to, you know, a culture versus the loss of life for a young man.
Agreed.
There's got to be clear and distinct delineation between the two. And to Tiki's point, I agree with you. It's kind of all lumped into one bowl, mm-hmm. and it's neatly packaged up as it, I don't know if it's to throw us off scent. I don't know really what the motivation is, but you and I are obviously smart enough to make
right.
sure we separate that.
It makes me feel like you think I'm stupid.
Yeah, but we said that. That's the first thing we said, so it didn't work here, and I don't think it's really working anywhere. Bigger issue, you know, this happened with the Miami Dolphins, mm-hmm. with the whole bullying thing.
Yeah.
You know, the spotlight in the last, you know, maybe 5-6 years-ish has really been on verbal abuse mm-hmm. and bullying.
You're right.
We haven't really shown a light on the part of athletics that you certainly went through as a football player. I went through lesser, but I have at least a fair sense of it. That is the building up of athletes by breaking them down.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's because, listen, I don't know what to say about Jordan McNair except rest in peace. His family has a lawsuit, even though the money's going to be meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
I almost don't know what else to say to add to that.
There's not much to say.
I don't. So I look at this, like, where are my real opinions on this issue? And, you know, I don't want to seem as if I'm coming from the Stone Age here, but I don't know that I want to overreact to... Now, forget about Maryland for a second and DJ Durkin. Tough coaching methods.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm still okay with tough coaching methods.
Oh, as am I.
Now, we need to define those tough coaching methods.
Yes.
And I'm sure we'll do that now. But in just as a whole, tough coaching methods generally yield a better athlete and a more mentally tough person, generally.
Well, and that's the most important part of being a football player, to be honest, because it's not easy. I mean, football players is one of the hardest things in the world, not only because of the mental gymnastics you have to go through to learn a scheme and your responsibilities relative to this defense or this offense or whatever you may be thrown in front of you, but then also it's just physically tough. Right, it's a game of attrition. We talk about this all the time. Get the crap beat out of you. You got to get back up and do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not going to. You're not going to be successful if you don't develop a physical and mental toughness. And that's what practice is all about. It's what the two-a-days are all about. Even though they barely do them anymore, it's what
camp's over.
It's exactly
camp is over.
It goes so quick.
Yeah.
These days it's 2 weeks. But you're right. So I don't mind. You know, the mental games, and I don't mind the physical games. And, you know, as I think about what it's evolved into, it's safety, and it's making sure that you can get the best out of a player, even though they're not all the same.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hard thing, right? Some guys can take this ribbing, whether it's, you know, psychological or otherwise, and they don't care, right? They slough it off and they continue to excel going forward. Others, they get really broken down by it. emotionally broken down and affects them. And it's hard to know. I mean, that's what a head coach's job is. And it's why it's so hard. You have to know the impact that you're having on everybody that you do something to.
And you've got to do it differently. You've got to be able to adapt to the different parts. Some people, yeah, it's really no different from the conventional workforce as well, minus the, you know, the physical aspect. But just the way, you know, you might communicate to one employee who needs to be prodded and cajoled. The other one, maybe you can be a little bit more, lack of a better word, antagonistic to inspire them. Like, everybody responds to different types of messages and motivation.
Yep.
And right now, there's, you know, I don't know the best high school teams in the country, but I guarantee a few reside in the state of California, Florida, Texas, Georgia.
New Jersey has a couple.
And Jersey always had Bergen Catholic, Don Bosco. Jersey's actually surprisingly loaded. People might not associate Jersey's terrific football. But I guarantee that some of those teams that are playing either this weekend coming up or next weekend that are ranked in the top 25 of the country, there's going to be a point in their first game, right, where they're playing in oppressive heat, in a hot state with stifling humidity.
You're right.
And they're in the fourth quarter, and they're in the middle of a 14-play drive to punctuate to win the game, right? And if you don't crack the whip and really break them down in July and early August, as that hand hits the dirt, now the nice turf, the beautiful turf that everybody has, they're going to quit.
You're right.
They're not going to be prepared to plow through that mental hurdle of it's either I'm going to check out or I'm going to keep going.
Yeah, it's me.
That's how you build people up.
It's me or the guy across from you.
Boom.
Right? And it's I always say this, and it's a cliche, right? Fatigue makes cowards out of everybody. At some point, you get so tired, you got to check out, right? Or fight through it.
Uh-huh.
And as a football coach, you need your guys to want to fight through it no matter what. And that's what the offseason is about. It's what training camp is about. It's what these offseason workouts are about. But when you go back and we're talking about Jordan McNair, right, the first part of this is finding out where a guy is. When he gets to training camp, where is he? Right? How good a shape are you? What did you do in the offseason?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to test you so that we find out. That test shouldn't lead to a death. That's the ultimately the thing that comes back to me. Right, I understand if he's in terrible shape, and you know what, he might have to do some extra drills. He might have to find a way to get himself into the expectation of where his coach wanted him to be. But it's still the coach's responsibility that he can't put him in a position where he's going to pass away.
This is where we didn't get a chance to get into this yesterday. The dynamic of a football team, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's high school or college, I'm going to put the NFL in a different spot.
Yeah. Yeah, you're paid to be.
You're paid. It's a job.
Yeah.
You know, to me, like how, but specific to Maryland for a moment, how is the training staff absolved? Because right now they are. The strength and conditioning coach in my world was always a liaison. You know, the head coach who's got a million things to delegate with coordinators, view progress, chart play, whatever. You got the head coach, you've got the strength and conditioning coach, and then you've got the medical staff.
Mm-hmm.
How can, specific to Maryland, the strength and conditioning coach get fired, but the medical team
I don't know.
Gets a pass?
Yeah, because
I don't understand this.
And I didn't realize this because they haven't gotten deep into the details of what transpired on that May day after Jordan McNair was taken to the training staff, like what exactly happened. But the one thing he did say was that they didn't take vital signs. Right? They didn't take his heart rate, didn't take his blood pressure. How is that possible?
That's extreme negligence.
Negligence, incompetence. It doesn't make sense to me. And so to your point, it feels like the buck is being passed, either from the head coach to the strength and conditioning coach or from the training staff to the strength and conditioning coach. Is getting passed to somebody who got fired and is gone, and let's just hope that we don't ask any more questions. That's just not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
If you're asking me, if I'm the McNairs, that's not good enough just to fire a guy who maybe was in the middle but not actually responsible for what happened.
See, let's get some calls on this. I think this is going to be really interesting, and it's a different type of conversation. We're not like, you know, who should start, who should get traded, who should be, you know, who should you draft. This is about your children, you know, as certainly as parents, and I don't want to just exclude those who aren't parents, but so if you don't have kids yet, certainly you can take us inside your world when you were an athlete, if there's something that jumps out. But, you know, I made the statement before that, you know, we shine a spotlight on the verbal abuse and the bullying aspect. And for the most part, the physical aspect is overlooked. And I really am curious just how tolerant parents are of tough coaching in the year 2018. Let's get some calls on this, because I know I've got thoughts. Your sons are in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. My kids aren't even there. They're not even close to there yet. But I already think I know where I stand. 855-212-4227, Teke and Tierney Show. Sixth annual Teke and Tierney. 2 days, we've got the Packers today. So we'll have Leroy Butler. Love it. He's a good friend of the show. He'll join us a little later. And we'll do the Denver Broncos as well, as they try to sort through what seems to be, at least during camp, somewhat of a murky, sloppy quarterback situation. 1-855-212-4227. Parenting in 2018. What's acceptable? What's not? And everybody's answer is going to be different. We'll get those calls coming up. Teke and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. We're going to use it in a minute. Phones are lit. I'm brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Teke and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. What's happening? Got inbounds, out of bounds coming up next segment. Let's see what kind of menu Santer constructed. A little something on the Browns, Carmelo, the Yankees, the Dodgers, a little Tiger Woods. I like it. Before we get to these phones, listen, I played 2 years of football, and I was terrible. I was an offensive lineman. I was 9 years old. I hated it, right? I hated it. So I can't give you about doing these old school Alabama drills from like the 60s. I didn't do that. The only thing that I could relate to, which probably wouldn't fly now, all right? I'm taking it back to high school, not even college, high school baseball. And my manager was an African-American prison guard. Old school, hard ass. Loved him. And my assistant was an old school Hispanic, you know, played baseball in the minors. These guys were hard, right? And, you know, being a corner, either first or third, the way when you play in the Northeast, a lot of rain, a lot of snow, invariably you practice in the gym a lot before you start your season in the Northeast, right? So I'll never forget, behind me, and we're doing infield outfield, not even outfield because it's a gym, doing infield, and he is rifling a fungo. I mean, Teke, he would be not even 90 feet away, maybe 75. Dude, he would rifle it at you. And as a first baseman, right behind me was this big metal wall, like ceramic wall. Mm-hmm. So if I didn't catch it, it would. Yeah, I like to think I caught most of them, but sometimes it gets by you. It ricochets off the wall. If you weren't careful, and trust me, I got hit in the head a few times, it would ricochet right off the wall and smash you in the face. Mm. There's no way that's flying today.
Yeah.
And I think to myself, I'm like, well, if that's Colton in however many years, but I have a real problem with that. And my son's three, for those who don't know. My answer would be no.
Probably not.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. You learn that way.
Neanderthal now, but
you learn that
it
way.
It worked.
Yeah, and you're not going to get seriously hurt.
Well, you can get a concussion if you get
a little bit hurt. But not seriously. Well,
you're not going to. I mean, can you say maybe you take one off the temple, God forbid? Yes, sure, if you want to. But
Dorn, get your body in front of it.
Dorn. All right, people want to talk, man. We'll get some calls.
Yeah, let's
see what's happening. Let's go. Todd, who's first up. And Todd is in the beautiful Bay Area. Todd, Teke and Tierney, what's going on, buddy? How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing fine. I just want to say I'm a big fan of you guys. I just wanted to share my experience with my offensive line football. You know, the coach.
Are you coaching now, Todd?
No, I'm an adult. I'm just.
Oh, this is back from when you were
working, but I used to play in high school.
Gotcha.
Give us a decade. Like, are we talking 70s, 80s, 90s? Just want to kind of.
That's the late 2000s.
2000s, gotcha.
I'm 30. Okay. So, he was. He just would try to motivate people with just really disgusting remarks about family members and everything. And I just remember thinking to myself, like, if you're trying to motivate me to get angry at that defensive lineman across from me, it's not working because I'm mad at you, you know? And that's my two cents. I just want to say there's a lot of different ways that people learn and that people, they get motivated.
Yeah.
And I feel like maybe it's different now, but back then there wasn't a whole lot of emphasis on that.
Yeah, no, it's interesting.
Thanks, Todd. Appreciate it, buddy.
There's a lot of coaches who like to try to make you mad. They don't care what you're mad at.
Mm-hmm.
They just want you to get mad. I remember a coach in college who used to, I mean, he was awesome. He would cuss and yell and scream, and he'd be like, XYZ player, you blanking waste of, you know, your mom and dad's like one of those.
Uh-huh.
And you'd hear it, and you'd be like, that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. but it still would piss you off.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
And so guys would get mad.
But I bet you'd but guys, not everybody gets mad at the same at the same level and the same pace. Like,
right.
Everybody's learning curve is very different. Just like everybody's motivational curve.
You're right.
I mean, you are laid back, and mm-hmm. I've seen you maybe mad, like really truly mad in the 6.5 years, maybe twice.
Yeah.
One was at me, and one was at somebody else.
Exactly.
That's it. I mean, you really don't get mad.
I don't. So coaches could motivate me.
But
that
I guarantee
way.
You play with some guys who wire differently, who would snap
You're
at
right.
a moment's notice. Everybody's
right.
a little different.
You're right.
How about let's go to New Mexico? Rod is in New Mexico. Beautiful state, by the way. And Ron is on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Ron, what's happening?
Hey, great day every day, man.
All right, like it, Ron. Attaboy. Nice.
What do you think? What do you got for us?
I was listening a little bit to what you guys were saying there. I played back in the 60s, and I had a coach, he's deceased now, named Ray Whitey Miller in Southern Illinois, and he always said, I don't have
Salukis.
Any bad players. I'm just going to make everybody better. And I'm telling you, people would play their hearts out for him.
Yeah.
Saluki. Ron, you're a Saluki?
Yeah, I went to school at SIU. I didn't play baseball then.
It's I got you. Still Saluki, I hear
yeah.
you.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because this is a guy we...
Thank you, Ron.
You were out last week. Was it last week? When did I have...
We were away for Monday and Tuesday.
So we had...
Tony Dungy in
who he's doing children's books. And Tony, kind of like what Ron was saying, like, he never raised his voice.
No, devout ever. Religious, doesn't curse.
Never curse. I'm talking about in however many years of head coaching, which is at least 15 years, 16 years. He never raised his voice, yet guys loved him. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? They would run through walls from him. I'm not like judging him on his coaching ability.
I got you.
I'm just talking about, and he won a Super Bowl, first African-American to do so, so you got to give him kudos, and the Hall of Famer.
But is that all?
It's guys.
Nice resume.
But the guys would love him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whatever he would ask him to do, he would do,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't raise his voice. So it's
those people are rare.
It's
that's
rare
you know, that's
because,
somebody you don't want to disappoint, and that's
yes,
a different type
that's exactly
of motivation.
Right. So he's not. You're not angry.
No. You just want to reward his faith in you.
Exactly. You feel like you let him down.
Yeah, that's the worst.
I agree.
I'd rather have somebody get mad at me than be really deeply disappointed
yes.
in something that I did or said.
No doubt.
That's just a worse feeling.
You're right.
It lingers more. Hey, buddy Marvin up in Northern California. Sacramento's in the house. Marvin's on Tiki and Tierney. What up, Marvin? How are you today?
Well, how are you guys doing today?
Yep.
We're good, man. What do you think?
Oh, well, I like to talk about that bullying thing. My son, he's from Touchdown Tootie.
Yeah.
He played against James Jones in high school. Him and James Jones were two of the best football players in San Jose back in the 2000s. And I used to go to all his games and practices. And, his coaching staff was really, really severe, but they were good. They were fair. They didn't overreact or anything, but they were vocal and all of that stuff. I've seen games that they played against other teams where the coaching staffs were just they went beyond belief.
Yeah.
And I was always the type of parent. I would sit in the stands. I'd go to his practices and his games, and I would just watch. If they got to the point where they're putting their hands on him or just verbally abusing him, I would have went down there.
Yeah.
Other than that, I mind my business and watched it. But like he said, different people are motivated differently. When I played baseball in the Bronx growing up, you know, for like 10 years, mm-hmm. when I was 9, when I was 20, I don't know if you're familiar with the Brookshire family, the illustrious sports family in New York.
Brookshire?
No, I don't know them. I have to look them up. What about
the
them?
Brookshire's, one of the sons was an offensive tackle for Columbia. I played against Bobby, one of the younger sons, in football and baseball and basketball in high school, junior high and high and everything.
Gotcha.
Real well known. But at any rate, the father, the patriarch of the family, he was always in the stands watching the games and whatnot. And this guy, he would never raise his voice. He was so knowledgeable and everything. And I remember I used to go on these 0-for-88 strikeout sprees. I couldn't hit a curveball. And he knew what to do. And I remember him telling my coach, this kid's got a beautiful swing. I know exactly how to straighten out, but I'm not a coach, and I'm not going to get involved. And everybody goes, tell him. No. But this, the way he handled things was just so masterful. It was fantastic. But, yeah, you should look him up. They're a pretty illustrious family.
Right. Yeah, right. No, I will.
But he couldn't make that. You hit that curveball good enough to get you to Yankee Stadium, huh, Marvin? It wasn't that good.
Else, man. I could do everything else, but I could not hit a curveball. I could hit the power, and I could also hit – stole bases. I was a catcher.
Yeah, nice. Okay, you run a little bit.
Base and everything, but I could not hit a curveball.
Hey, Marvin, let me tell you something now.
That was a lot of people's downfall.
I was going to say, there are a lot of people who are hearing that exchange, mm-hmm. curveball or the slider, the kryptonite for many,
yeah.
including this guy.
Yeah, you know, it'll be interesting for you, BT, because Colton is still young enough. You don't have to think about it. But in a couple of years, yeah. he's going to start playing sports.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And there's
already started.
Different.
T-ball, but it's more like a gathering.
Maybe if he plays the physical sports like lacrosse or soccer or whatever. Some coaches, and I remember this when AJ and Chasen were little,
yeah.
they're just yelling to yell. Right? And maybe it's
almost validating their own mind that they got a whistle.
Exactly.
I got you.
And as I used to, because I never would say anything. I was kind of like Marvin. I just sit in the stands and just watch. And
yep.
be like, all right, they're not doing this program again next year. Because it starts dawning on you. They don't know what you're yelling about. Right? This 5 or 6 year old has no idea why you're yelling. You're screaming and saying things. It's not processing, mm-hmm. right?
It's like the old girlfriend we all had. Yep. I'm not listening to you anymore.
Exactly.
Keep going. I'm not listening.
I kind of know what you're talking about, but I'm not processing what you're saying,
yeah.
right? It's just loud, and I just want the loudness to end. You know what I mean? So you stop functioning.
Uh-huh.
It's actually counterproductive, yeah. I think, in some regards.
Yeah.
Like the constant yelling, and this is – I'm talking about for like 5 and 6 year olds, but it probably is that way too.
It becomes white noise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're 16, 17, 18, you just stop listening.
I can see that.
You know what I mean?
I can see that. I also think it depends on the sport. Like, if you're a basketball coach, if you're a manager,
yeah.
really the only time you should ever have to really truly raise your voice is if...
guy's not hustling.
Yeah, somebody loafs after a ball mm-hmm. in the gap, doesn't bust it down the line, doesn't tag up mm-hmm. properly, doesn't know a sign, something stupid, something lazy, born out of laziness. But in, like, basketball, if you're coaching a basketball game... and you've got to employ your guys, you know, pick them up full court, get back, weak side. I mean, you're yelling
yeah.
the entire game.
You're right.
And it's a different energy, and it's really a different delivery. So I guess it does depend on the sport, but interesting. I knew our callers would be doing a great job with that. Nicely done. A lot of tweets as well. We'll read some during the break. We'll bring some to the air on a topic that affects all of us. Let's face it. I mean, you know, you want your kids to be in the right hands, no doubt. All right, 855-212-4227. Tig, we got inbounds, out of bounds coming up next. The Browns are there. The Yankees have a real issue with Severino. Something on the Dodgers, all that and more. Jay Bourbon's update. Here is Jay right now coming at you. Hey, football's around the corner. Can't wait. Tonight, 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, NFL Hall of Famer Michael Strahan. Tiki's old teammate and buddy sitting down with the women here. We need to talk.
Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm. Grill them. Grill them good, girls. Grill them. to get into the upcoming season.
I wanted to talk more about football or all the other stuff that he has going on.
I'm sure they'll hit the whole gamut.
God,
do a little pop culture,
so
connect all the dots. He's
so
a busy
much.
Dude.
He is busy. I thought I was busy. He's busier.
He is busy. That is coming up tonight on right here, CBS Sports Network. We need to talk. So the girls are back for another year, and deservedly so. No surprise. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. We got inbounds, out of bounds in a minute. All right, so at the top of the next hour, this will be really good. We're not going to divulge the teams yet. But when we think there's a day where there's maybe not necessarily main leads, like
slow day in radio,
somewhat, yeah. Like we wouldn't do this yesterday because we knew we had Tiger Hope for the whole first hour, and we had Shermer, the Giants head coach, whatever. We'll pick usually once or so a week leading up to the season something interesting. Like we already did, what do we do? The coaches and the quarterbacks, right? So today's theme, which NFL teams are most interesting heading into the season?
Yep.
Tiki and I'll each come up with a list of three. And interesting could mean a multitude of different
good,
things,
bad,
really.
Ugly.
It could. A little bit of both.
Yeah.
A little bit of both. So we got that coming up. It's Tiki and Tierney's 6th annual training camp, 2-a-days. We had the Packers, and we've got the Broncos today, which will be cool. And right around 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific, a lot of baseball. The Dodgers, their bullpen's a mess.
Yeah.
The Yankees... rotational issues,
yeah.
the Astros, the Nationals keep losing in a really just mind-numbing fashion, real dispiriting.
To get back to the Dodgers, you got to be worried about Jansen, man.
Yeah, you do, 100%.
This is AFib is a serious thing.
Oh, yeah?
You know, it seems like it's correctable and manageable. We'll get to it inbounds and out-of-bounds as well, but that's a serious thing. Without him, their bullpen has not been...
They got to do something.
Yeah.
Now, they could not that Britton has been good for the Yankees. He's actually been terrible since he was traded from the Orioles. But you know, like Britton, if he was right in the Dodgers bullpen. I mean, they're going to have to do something. That's true. And that's not the kind of thing, you know, if my knee is barking, I'll get it shaved during the offseason.
Yeah.
I'm not kicking heart surgery down the road. You know, for,
not at all.
No, I hear not. No, I was going to say for too long,
already,
not at all.
He's already had one.
So I got you.
This is, it's troubling.
All right. About. You ready for Inbounds Out of Bounds?
Yeah, let's get to it.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right, what's wrong, and who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and Out of Bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Tiki, the theme of Hard Knocks. The Browns became just the second team in NFL history to go 0-16. And now the team's partnered with Budweiser to offer fans free beer.
Bud.
I like that one. Those guys, well, there was a couple. There was the Frogs. That's a million years ago. But then those guys, they just called each other. That was actually pretty good catchy.
It was.
Then it drove you nuts. But they partnered with Budweiser to offer fans free beer. Nothing could go wrong here. Once they win their first game this season. All right. 10 area bars have purchased a special Bud Light beer fridge. Hopefully we have an image of this on the network here that will actually... That it's chained shut. Like, there's literally chained, like Junkyard Dog, the old wrestler. Imagine what was hanging from his neck, hanging around this refrigerator. And when they win, it will be digitally opened, and you will be able to go and get beer. Okay, this promotion is inbounds or out of bounds?
As much as I love this, I have to say... Out of bounds.
Oh, you come on.
You know
don't
why?
Be a wuss. Why?
Because I don't like Bud Light. It's water.
Right.
If they
there
made it Bud, it would be awesome.
Bud's old school. I like a good Bud school. Every now
Give
and again.
Give me a good Bud.
Yeah, with the nice red and white label.
You're right.
Red, white, and blue sometimes.
Well,
it's very American theme.
Now they have the one, was it Bud Select? If they would have made this Bud Select.
Oh, the old recipe from like the 20s or 30s? Yeah.
Then I would be in bounds. Out of bounds is I don't want to drink water.
Yeah, all right. So you're cool with the concept and the premise. You're not down with the actual drink that you'd be going to get.
Yeah.
Okay.
And think about the chaos that's going to like ensue.
Well, this is where I disagree.
Open. You're going to be like, come on.
Give me my Bud. I want my free Bud.
Then again,
if everybody shares the lack of enthusiasm for the product, maybe nobody's going to go running for it.
No.
You know?
No, free beer?
Yeah, free beer is free beer.
It don't matter.
Listen, Santa and I were talking about this before the show. I don't know. Maybe I've got a little more faith in humanity here. But as I really do think about this, it is the Browns fans. I love them. I don't mean that as a shot, but they are aggressive. They do like to drink.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't won much. They lost LeBron James. And I just think, like, the scene behind me, like, when I'm doing a game at the Garden for Hoops, like, when they launch that T-shirt into the crowd.
People go crazy.
It does get
things.
Nutty.
Like,
that's just for a T-shirt that's going to shrink.
Exactly. It costs 12 cents to make.
I'm still going to say inbounds. It's fresh. It's original. Okay. It's innovative.
I like it. But
what could go wrong?
Give me a butt. Set a butt like.
I'm going to say inbounds here.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, T. Carmelo Anthony. Boy, 1 year, $2.5 million. That's what he's going to get with the Rockets. So that protracted flirtation finally resolved here. Boy, that took a long time. Which reunites with his good buddy, former Knicks head coach Mike D'Antoni. They hated each other. During their year plus together in New York, it was well documented that Melo and D'Antoni didn't always see eye to eye.
He's a great guy, and just some whip situations get to be. He wanted one day, I wanted another. We kind of clashed a little bit. Surely we can learn from it. We can get better with it. We can make sure it doesn't happen again. I've always thought he's a good guy. We never had a blow up verbally. It just wouldn't work out, and we had different ideas at the time. I think our ideas are the same now.
Okay, that's D'Antoni now. Here we go.
He said some work situations didn't work out.
Yeah, but meaning when Carmelo didn't get the basketball, that there was a work situation that didn't mesh well with Carmelo's thoughts.
That's great.
So Carmelo's now 34. Is it a better fit on the Rockets now than the 26-year-old superstar that was on the Knicks back in the day with D'Antoni in or out?
I wanted to say out of bounds because I felt like, you know, back in 2011 when he was still young and Amar'e Stoudemire was there, they were both averaging 25, 26 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
It was a perfect situation, but clearly
54 wins.
Exactly. Clearly, Samter didn't do his research because that year in 2011,
Samter shade.
Carmelo Anthony played 27 games. So I got to say inbounds. This is a better situation than that specific year.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, I would have said out of bounds, but since you picked 2011, you only play 27 games, I'd be irresponsible if I said.
Well, it's tough to play 82 for the Knicks when you started the season in Denver, to be fair. I'm going to give Samter a little latitude on that. But listen, I say, how do I want to answer this? You know how I feel about Carmelo as a player. I think he's a good guy, but his ball-stopping ways have driven me nuts. Do I think he's going to be a better fit now? You know what? I'm going to say inbounds for this reason. Back then, it was the early stages of the game beginning to change, where it was still a lot of isolation, a lot of ball stoppage. So he was very reluctant to do that. Now the game's changed to the point where, first of all, he's been humbled by his stint with Oklahoma City. So right away, you'd have to think he's a little bit different. He's wired a little differently, you hope. And I think he will be. You've got CP3 to deliver the message of D'Antoni rather than Mike himself. And the fact that the game's changing, I think he's going to be less resistant and more flexible to catching it and rerouting the basketball and let the other weapons, and they've got a lot, do their thing. And when it's time for Carmelo to shoot and score, and when he comes off the bench, he'll get his shots. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt for the first time in a while. And I'm going to say inbounds for Carmelo on this one.
Are you in or are you out?
Surprise people with that take here. See, I don't dislike Carmelo. I just dislike what he did for my team, which really wasn't a lot. All right, Yankees ace Luis Severino. He's a mess. Lasted four innings against the Mets last night. Gave up four runs, seven hits. Yanks lost 8-5 to the Mets, a makeup game that was.
Thought he was going to win the Cy Young earlier.
He was trending there. God, there's no well, the guy who pitched so last night better win the NL Cy Young. DeGrom better win that.
There's no doubt.
He will. Scherzer's actually, I wouldn't say no doubt. I mean, if Scherzer wins like five out of five the rest of the way, I think it's DeGrom. But I wouldn't say no doubt, not yet. Anyway, Severino has gone only six or more in one of his last seven outings. He's getting no depth. Bullpen's getting shot. So while Severino struggles, Aaron Judge is out. Sabathia's out now. Various injuries. The Bronx Bombers lead over the A's for the first wild card spot is down to 3.5 and six for the final wild card spot. In or out, the Yankees are still legit World Series contenders.
Inbounds because I think they're going to get healthy at the right times. And by the way, this was down to 2.5 and 4 about a week and a half ago. So they've actually made progress. So I'm going to say inbounds, plus I'm biased.
You say inbounds on this, huh? The Yankees are still World Series contenders.
You're a Yankees fan. I know you're not saying that.
Well, I mean, but I'm also objective. You know, I got to say what I really believe.
Yeah, I know you.
I'm going to say inbounds with this caveat. All right, we mentioned Judge. By the way, Sanchez will get back at some point here.
Yeah, we mentioned him.
I mean, the Yankees are 74 and 44 for a reason, because they're pretty damn good.
Right.
I mean, their run differential is almost a buck 40, 30 over 500. Now, we mentioned Severino, right? Severino, the first half, 14 and 2 with a 2.31 ERA and a 2.09 batting average against. Since the All-Star break, he's 1-4, and opponents are hitting .345. Mm. Without him, they win nothing. So here's the caveat. Forget about catching the Red Sox. You're not. This is the Red Sox year. They're going to absolutely win the American League East. Stop giving chase. Skip Severino. Skip him two starts. Get his arm regenerated. Figure out what the hell's wrong with him, because without him, you win nothing, including probably even a wild card game, because I don't even trust Tanaka at this point.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teague, how about this one? The Tiger effect is real, obviously, as evidenced by this weekend's dramatic final round during which Tiger finished second to Brooks Koepka. So while young stars like Koepka, Spieth, Rory, got Ricky, DJ, and Day ushering a new era of golfers here, the TV ratings for Sunday's action, this was amazing on CBS, jumped 69% from last year's PGA Championship. I believe I read on CBS Sports PR Twitter handle, it was the highest PGA rating in 9 years, I think. Wow. I saw. So anyway, Tiger Woods obviously still carries a lot of weight. Tiger is more important, great question, to the success of his sport than any other athlete in the last 50 years.
That's a good question. I'm going to say out of bounds because it's really hard to say that Serena Williams wasn't as important to women's tennis as Tiger Woods has been, or Conor McGregor. We see this now with MMA. Right, they can't get a draw. They can't get any promotion around their cards because there's no star.
Yep.
Bonds and McGuire. This is personal for me because early in my career life, I didn't love baseball.
Yeah.
But I started watching it when the home run things came.
I think a lot of people. Yeah.
I'm gonna say out of bounds, but it's a close one.
I'm gonna say inbounds. And by the way, we made it 50 years because we wanted to move it past Jackie Robinson.
Yeah.
Because that would have been a no-brainer. So that's why we had the 50 year window. I say inbounds here, although I will give you food for thought. He made a very elitist, very slow, very boring, very affluent game cool.
Yep.
I mean, he just gave it a touch of cool, which is hard to do.
And obviously black.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's no question. But here's the other thing. I'm going to give you a name to chew on. I thought about going with Wayne Gretzky. When he was dealt, and it was just 30 years ago the other day, when he was dealt from Edmonton to L.A., I don't know if all these other Southern expansion teams are flowing.
Yeah, you're right.
The Florida Panthers, the Tampa Bay Lightning. I mean, that changed the NHL dynamic.
It was one of the few, because it's a regional sport, and it went national with Gretzky.
No doubt. International.
Yeah.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.